Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That was then. This is now. What a difference a year makes as the Los Angeles Lakers don't revolve around Lonzo Ball or LeVar Ball or anything to do with the Ball family. Instead, he is now part of LeBron's wake. Okay, maybe that's overstating it a bit, but he is now a member of the proverbial supporting cast, and LeBron is the center of attention. 44 points for him on Wednesday night in Los Angeles as the Lakers win their sixth game in seven tries, this one against the 10-win Blazers, and they do it with a full complement of guys pitching in. And I like how they're coming together. It's not going to be smooth the entire season. It's such a long year, and Rondo just broke a bone in his right hand, so he'll be out for a few weeks. But LeBron has 44. JaVale McGee has 20. Brandon Ingram has 17 and 4 assists. Ball is also in double figures to go along with 6 boards and 3 assists. Tyson Chandler comes off the bench with a bunch of rebounds. They haven't lost since they added Tyson Chandler to their roster. It's a group that has some depth to it, has some versatility to it, and of course has one of the best players ever to step on a basketball court. Some of you have weighed in to try to guess who's the only scorer in the NBA's top six all time that did not wear a Lakers uniform. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also weigh in on our Facebook page at any point after hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We'll do a little QB news as we head through this hour. And I promised you that I would tell you how I'm reinventing myself around the holidays. I did not do it last night. I kind of ran out of time. And then our final hour, we were busy. We had a lot of phone calls that I wanted to get to. And so I dropped the ball. But I've broken out of my mold. I'm reinventing myself as the holidays approach. And I got this gift for my family that I'm excited about but also nervous about because I don't know how we're going to handle it. It's a new adventure, and I'll explain. In fact, we'll do that in 15 minutes. We'll do a little holiday chatter coming up in 15 minutes because, do you know, Thursday is a week until Thanksgiving. So some of you are maybe on your Wednesday night. You're still on your Wednesday night. Some of you are waking up on your Thursday morning, depending upon where you are in the country and how you're listening. However, Thursday is a week to Thanksgiving, and wintry weather is encompassing a good portion of the Midwest. That weather is moving to the Northeast and the South, and millions of people are now getting their first blast of snow and ice and freezing rain and really cold weather. So yeah, the holidays are here. Whether we're ready or we're not, the holidays are upon us, that holiday season. I'm telling you what, I say this every year, but I feel like 2018 went faster than any year that I can ever remember. As the weather gets colder, the stakes get higher in the NFL. Week number 11. I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Seahawks receiver David Moore. If you missed it, well, it'll certainly be part of our podcast. We podcast the entire show every weekday morning, and we do the interviews separately so that we can then put those on Twitter and on Facebook and other forms of social media. So if you missed my conversation with David, then please check it out on our podcast and share with all your friends. After hours, amylawrence.com. Good page to bookmark, too. People still ask me every day, do you have a podcast? Or, you know, they say to me, I don't work the same hours as you anymore. Is there a way that I can listen to your show? So, yeah, we do. All 4 hours of the show, podcast it every weekday morning. And here's the kicker. Here's the secret that some people don't realize. The podcast is sans commercials. So it's a little bit like watching a TV show on demand or having a DVR where you can fast forward through commercials. Yeah, the entire hour takes 44 minutes. And then, of course, the interviews are podcasted in a whole separate audio file. So we would invite you to check that out. Again, after hours, amylawrence.com. So we're heading into week 11. We'll preview Packers and Seahawks a little bit later in the show. But the major story for the past couple of days, it's even the focal point of my weekly football column, is that Le'Veon Bell has decided to skip the entire season by not reporting in time to sign his contract before Tuesday's deadline. He said sayonara to the Steelers, potentially playing his last snap with them going back to the 2017 season, but deciding that this is what's best for him. It's what's best for his physical body. It's what's best for him financially. He definitely waffled over the course of the last several months, because remember in July, he said that this would be his best season ever. And then on October 1st, after the Steelers had started out 1-2-1 and were at the bottom of the AFC North, he did an interview with ESPN in which he indicated he couldn't wait to get back and play football, that he really missed football. And that was when the rumor started circulating that he was planning on reporting at their bye week. Again, none of that happened. And what changed was the Steelers. What changed was how they played. What changed was a 5-game win streak. And now at the top of the AFC North. And so he changed his mind. And Ben Roethlisberger was hoping that he might change his mind again. Even as the deadline approached, Ben admitted that he reached out to Le'Veon.
I texted him yesterday before the deadline, asking him, text him, tell him, hope he was going to show up. And if he decided not to, I wish him nothing but the best. He was a great teammate, a great football player. To each their own on what they want to walk away from.
To each their own on what they want to walk away from. Now, it may come across as snarky, but I actually think that Ben is being sincere. Do you remember a couple of years ago, he admitted for the first time ever after a hit to the head and going into concussion protocol, he started thinking about life after football. He started thinking about his family and whether or not it was worth it to continue to take these hits. And then after that season, I'm pretty sure that was the 16 season, after that season was when he said he had to take a step back and reevaluate, make sure he still wanted to play. So you remember the whole offseason, anytime you talked about the Steelers, it was about whether or not Ben Roethlisberger was planning to retire. He's not saying any of that now, but when he tells you to each his own about what he wants to walk away from, well then, you understand he's speaking personally because he's considered his options in the past. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the Steelers have indicated, starting at the top with Mike Tomlin, they're not going to talk about guys who aren't in the locker room. But Ben not only admitted that he texted Le'Veon, kind of some closure here, right? But also that he couldn't do what Bell just did, which was walk away from a locker room full of his teammates.
That'd be tough. Especially part of the great thing about this sport is this band of brothers and this group of guys in here and being with them. It's kind of what keeps me coming back after so many years too. But like I said, to each their own. Each guy has their own motives and motivations, and I can't comment on him.
Not really. Not specifically. But definitely commenting on the idea of skipping an entire season. You hear that a lot from football players, but not just football. Basketball, hockey, baseball as well. That what they miss the most is the camaraderie. What they miss the most is being in that locker room, traveling with the guys, being part of something that's bigger than you, being part of this incredible group that's all pushing toward the same goal. And so they'll all tell you that that's what they miss the most. And Ben is saying there's no way that I could leave that. In fact, that's what keeps me coming back. And so for the Steelers, they've put themselves in a good position now. They are on top of the AFC North, yes, but also as we stand now, and it's only through 10 weeks, so nobody hands out playoff spots or buys or seeds in week 10. But they are, right now, the number two seed in the AFC. It's that pesky little tie that I hate so much. I can't stand ties. Not in pro sports. Ties should be relegated to peewee football if you have to have them. But because of their tie, they actually have a slightly higher winning percentage than the New England Patriots. And so they are the number two team in the AFC at this point. The rest of their schedule, so it's got some landmines to be sure. In fact, the month of December, whoo! So they go on the road at the Jaguars. That's coming up week 11. Then they're on the road at Denver. So they're actually in a stretch right now where they're playing three of four games on the road. Denver, not a great team. Not going to make the playoffs this year more than likely, but is still a difficult place to play. Not only the altitude, but just the fans there in the Mile High City. Then they're back home to play the other teams in the AFC West, the Chargers, and then on the road at the Raiders the week after that. Now listen to this. They finish up their final 3 weeks of the year. Home with the Patriots, on the road at New Orleans. Can you think about the impact that those two games might have? That bye, let's, for now anyway, just assume the Chiefs continue on this particular arc and they have one of the byes. So the other bye could be up for grabs. In that game between the Patriots and the Steelers in Pittsburgh, an AFC bye, a first-round playoff bye, one of the top seeds could be up for grabs. Then they have to go on the road to the Saints. Woo, that's rough, back-to-back, 7 days apart. And then finally, against the rival Bengals, that's week 17. So their schedule from here on out is full of landmines, nothing easy. And they know they will not have the guy who used to be their bell cow. But James Conner, third in the NFL in rushing yards, third in the NFL in rushing touchdowns, already over 1,000 yards from the line of scrimmage. So week 11 is their next big challenge. We'll see if they can extend their win streak. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do some QB news coming up next, including a new target. Oh, no, what did I say? We'll do QB news at the bottom of the hour. I told you that I would finally follow up with some of these holiday topics, pre-holiday topics that I've been teasing. So we'll do QB news at the bottom of the hour. So about 20 minutes from now, we finally get another target for Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, an older guy who will joke about the fact that he's supposed to be done and washed up. Also, could we be seeing a quarterback change in week 11 for the Baltimore Ravens? The rookie says he's ready. And Russell Wilson, understanding how important this game is between the Seahawks and the Packers on Thursday Night Football. So plenty of football to talk about. We can take your calls too. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a great way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, I'm busting out of my mold. I'm reinventing myself.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No, it's too early for Christmas music. I like it, though. I don't know why this is happening to me, but I'm feeling much more in the holiday and Christmas spirit earlier than I normally do. And I suspect that the reason why is because I haven't seen my family since mid-September. I had a chance to spend a few days with my mom and her husband in mid-September. I haven't seen my nieces since the first weekend in August, and I only got 48 hours with them. I was just back from my trip to Cuba. I was a bit of a disaster. I was still trying to adjust. I was exhausted. And my older niece, was getting ready to, well, the whole family was going on a trip. They were. And then she was going to go back to college to start her senior year. And so that was the only time I could see them. And I just didn't have any more time away from work, and it was a very quick visit. And so I feel like it's been forever since I've seen my family. And as I think about the holidays, that's what I get excited about, is just the time with them. And so I'll have Thanksgiving with my brother's family. That's coming up next week. I've got a basketball game on Wednesday afternoon, and then I will take off to my brother's in the D.C. area. And then I'll be able to stay with them until Sunday morning, and we're really excited. You know, both my nieces will be there. And then at Christmas, we're all going to Houston. So all of us are flying down to Houston to visit my mom and to spend the week with her. I will be doing one show from Houston, but otherwise I'll be off that week. And so I guess as the holidays get closer, that's why I'm more excited, because it feels like forever since I've had some real quality time with the family. And it's been such a crazy 6 weeks of work between October, which is always a monster in this business, and then tipping off basketball season and a new job with the Columbia women's team. It's just been a lot of work. And the last 6 weeks flew by in a blur. So as I was thinking ahead to the holidays this week and kind of, not getting overwhelmed, trying not to get overwhelmed by everything that has to be done between now and the time the holidays actually get here, I realized that all of that peripheral stuff, all of the items that we put on the to-do list, all of that, it's not nearly as important as just enjoying what Christmas and the holidays are all about. And it's family, and it's food, and it's fun, and a lot of times it's football as well. I actually enjoy watching football with my family because I don't have to do it for work. So, keeping all of that in mind, I decided I'm reinventing myself this holiday season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you are sending me your thoughts. Who's the only scorer in the top six in NBA history who did not wear a Lakers uniform? Believe it or not, nobody has guessed it right yet, which I'm stunned by, but I'm waiting on you. You're sending me some guesses, but you're not getting it yet. So anyway, on Twitter, or you can weigh in on Facebook too. So I actually am going to put up my Christmas tree the week after Thanksgiving. What? So I always make fun of people who decorate their yards and their homes in November, because it's, I don't know, it feels like it's too early. In fact, my brother and sister-in-law and my nieces, they put up their Christmas tree. Now, it's a fake Christmas tree, so, you know, whatevs. They put up their fake Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving. So I often spend Thanksgiving with them because I can drive there. And I'm always teasing them about how they're getting into the Christmas spirit way too early. But that's how I feel this year. And so I'm joining the ranks of people who decorate uber early. I've already made an appointment with a friend because I don't know if you ever tried to do a Christmas tree by yourself. It's complicated. And so I get a real tree because I'm from New Hampshire and fake trees are like cheating. And so I've already made an appointment with a friend of mine to go get the Christmas tree the week after Thanksgiving. Boom! That's it. I'm joining the ranks of the people that I used to make fun of. And I'm proudly going to display my lights and my Christmas tree for an entire month.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Normally, I wait until about the 13th or the 14th, and I don't do the Christmas tree till then, but I leave it up into January, largely because the NFL playoffs are going on. I don't have time to take it down, and because I really enjoy the lights. Oh, something else that's quirky about me, I actually decorate inside with the lights as opposed to putting them outside, because I can't see them outside and I really like them. And so I put lights up around my living room, and sometimes I hang them up along the windows in my bedroom as well, because they make me happy. So this year I'm spreading the happiness through the entire month of December. What about you guys? Is that too early for you guys? Dave is with us this week, and Chris. I know, Chris, you live with your dad. So when do you guys decorate your home for Christmas?
Believe it or not, my father is the biggest sap in the world, and he anticipates these holidays are gold for him. So right away, ASAP.
Like, you've already done it, or right after Thanksgiving?
Well, he's a big fall guy, so he still has the fall decorations up. Then we'll transition into the holiday decor.
We're going to need some pictures of sappy dad's decorations.
So many lights.
Wait, are you like the Griswolds?
Not so much, as we live in an apartment, only so much we could do. But he makes the most of the square space, I'll tell you that.
The fire department knows where you live. They can spot you from miles away. Dave, what about you and your family? I know you have four kids, so how often do you, or how early do you decorate?
Whenever the kids and our schedule dictate that we can get up there and decorate everything. My wife is big, though, on decorations, and she's like the most creative person in the world, so she handles that. I put it wherever she wants it.
Oh, okay, so she doesn't go up on the roof. You actually just go where she tells you to.
Exactly.
But how early do you do it? Does it generally December?
Usually the week after Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh, I fit in. I fit in with the crew here. We've got Sappy Decorating Dad, and then we've got the guy who gets ordered to go put the lights up everywhere. So now I'm going to be Sappy Decorating Amy for the entire month of December. I'm very excited. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I'm the person who makes fun of people for decorating too early. But it just feels right. Also, can I tell you what I got for my family for our Christmas present? This is a secret, so nobody tell, okay? This is a total secret. I had to recruit one of my nieces to answer some of my questions because I've never been to an escape room before. Anybody know what an escape room is? Have you guys, either of you, Dave, Chris, have you done an escape room?
My kids have done it. I haven't done
it. Your kids have done it. I thought your kids were really young.
Oh, my middle kids. They're 11 and 13.
Oh, okay.
They're good. They loved it, actually.
Oh, good. All right. And Chris, what was your experience with an escape room?
Wasn't good.
Oh, you got stuck? You didn't get out?
We were really bad.
Who did you go with?
I went with a couple buddies. It did not turn out as well as we planned.
Were you sober?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, that could have something to do with it. Anyway, I am so excited. I don't know how I heard about this. Oh, my best friend said she was going to something called an escape room for her sister's birthday. Now, I grew up with her as well as her sister. We went to high school together. And so I was really intrigued, and I asked her all about it. And as she was describing it, it sounded like the perfect adventure for my family. Why? Because we're all strong personalities. We all think we're really smart. And I can just imagine the jokes. We are all about the sarcasm, the sense of humor. Not to mention, there's a couple of us that are pretty bossy. I mean, I'll cop to that. Me and my sister-in-law were both really bossy. Can you just imagine the seven of us stuck in a room together trying to figure out these puzzles? So I booked an escape room in the Houston area for the day after Christmas. My mom actually thinks I'm going to get my hair done. So she's got the entire week planned out. I mean, like, we're on a military schedule. We're like, step, 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 right to it. It's going to be, yeah, we could get stuck in there. I don't know what happens. So, Chris, can you give me a little tip? Like, how does it work? They give you instructions and then they lock a door, or what happens?
Well, ours started out as like a mystery dinner theater. And then we transitioned into a room after a big to-do happened at our dinner table.
Someone got murdered?
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
So what was the theme for your escape room?
It was like murder mystery, whodunit sort of a thing. We had to find all the clues. Oh. They were hidden in the walls and in the floor.
I cannot wait. Oh, my gosh. And you only get an hour, right?
I think that's how much time we had.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our theme is the clock tower. And it's apparently award-winning. And some guy's trapped in a clock tower, and he's been there for years and years, and it's some kind of historical bent to this whole escape room. So I don't know. We might kill each other. We might be able to get through without damaging the rest of our week together, but I'm really excited, and it's a secret. So my older niece has done it before, and she said it was so much fun, and she helped me to figure out which one we should pick. But the rest of my family has no idea. In fact, my younger niece is mad because I won't let her in on the secret because she can't keep a secret. So yeah, that's kind of the big deal. If you've ever been to an escape room, I would love to hear your reaction, your feedback, kind of your Yelp review, if you will. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Tell me what the theme of your escape room was. And if these are good tweets, I'll read them on the air. This seems like the perfect Christmas gift. I just love to do stuff with my family. And so this is
great. I immediately regret this decision.
No, I don't. It's going to be awesome. All right, so on Twitter, on Facebook, let me know if you've ever done an escape room, and do not spoil my secret, please.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Go to colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! Ben with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Brandon Marshall was released by the Seattle Seahawks 2 weeks ago, but he has found himself a new job. And I will say the same thing that I said when Dez Bryant signed up with the Saints before he blew out his Achilles. This is a receiver's dream come true. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for finding me on Twitter. I appreciate your feedback about escape rooms. Also, who's the only scorer in the NBA's top six all time when it comes to points? All time, the only one who did not wear a Lakers uniform. I'm a little bit stunned at you, sports fans. Amazing how many of you forgot that Karl Malone wore a Lakers uniform at the end of his career. So keep those coming on Twitter or on our Facebook page. Brandon Marshall's got a brand new job catching passes from one Drew Brees. Now remember, when Dez signed that contract with the Saints, what did I tell you? Michael Thomas, the only receiver with the Saints to have more than a dozen receptions. They actually need a number two guy, a guy that they can rely upon, who is steady and also draws some of the defense away from Michael Thomas. And Brandon Marshall is hoping that's him.
I think that's a wide receiver's dream. You know, it's exciting. Then also you get, you know, Mike T over there, who's a beast and a running back. So, you know, it's a complete team, and, you know, they're on the roll right now. When you're on the other side of 30 and you don't produce, you know, this is the situation you'll find yourself in. So I'm excited and grateful for this opportunity, and, you know, I love playing football, and it's something I want to continue to do.
A little shot at redemption for one Brandon Marshall, who is a six-time Pro Bowler, and he's been in a lot of places in the NFL. Let's be honest, he's bounced around trying to find a new home in his mid-30s. The Saints, of course, are at 9-1, and they're a team that has won 9 consecutive games. Are they at 8-1? They're at 8-1. They've won 8 consecutive games. Excuse me, they've already had their bye. So they started out with that loss at the beginning of the season to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Superdome, and since then have rattled off 8 straight wins, including a big victory over the Rams a couple of weeks ago. 52 points last weekend for them on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals. And so this is a team that right now is in a perfect situation. They've got not only a Michael Thomas, who is nearly automatic, but they also have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram and a Drew Brees that seemingly does not miss when he sets his sight on a particular target. The offense is great, and the defense has been holding its own. It's one of the tops in the NFL at stopping the run. So add Brandon Marshall to the mix, and we'll see whether or not this can be a positive. Now, he knows all the lines about how he's washed up, how his best days are behind him, how this is a charity contract from the New Orleans Saints.
No, I'm done. I'm washed up. You know, I went, you know, my what my film says the last, you know, this year is what it is. So that's what it is.
Good for Brandon Marshall for an opportunity at vindication. He was drafted by the Denver Broncos, spent 4 seasons there. Then he was traded to the Miami Broncos. That was part of the Josh McDaniels era. He was traded to Miami Dolphins, excuse me. Spent a few years in Chicago, a couple years with the Jets, one with the Giants, and now, lo and behold, has landed with the New Orleans Saints. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, we could have another change at starting quarterback. It depends upon the health of Joe Flacco in Baltimore as the Ravens will host the Bengals. We could see the rookie, Lamar Jackson, who right now is just waiting to find out.
Just going into it like any other week, you know, just preparing for whatever.
Really? I mean, how'd you sleep?
Normal. The same. Like a baby?
I wish I slept like a baby every day. He's a rookie. He's a first-round pick. He's right now in the dark because Joe Flacco's dealing with a right hip injury. Didn't practice Wednesday. He's undergoing treatment. Coach Harbaugh has already indicated that Flacco doesn't have to practice to be ready to start Sunday against the Bengals. And right now, it's a lot of uncertainty. They have no idea. But Jackson says, hey, if my name is called, I'll do what's required.
I feel I'll be very prepared. You know, I'm trying to sponge everything in. You know, I'm trying to learn the ins and outs. So whatever happens, it will happen.
Whatever happens will happen. Yeah, I'm not that laid back when it comes to things like this, big opportunities. I would be nervous for sure. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We kick off week 11 in the NFL with the Seahawks and the Packers. And remember, the Packers are in the midst of a really difficult stretch in their schedule. Right now, they're sitting at 500. They're 4-4-1. But they lost to both the Rams and the Patriots on the road. They went back home. They beat the Dolphins. Now it's at Seattle on a short work week. And then, of course, they're on the road at the Minnesota Vikings. And that one will come up Thanksgiving weekend. So here we go. We've got Russell Wilson as the challenge for Mike McCarthy and that Packers defense.
Ultimately, usually in those moments, it's just about trying to do things right, you know, really, really tight and just trying to do all the little things right. And I think that's when, you know, great players, you know, great free throw shooters, you know, they may say keep your elbow in or whatever it may be, you know, the focus on the little things. You know, I think those are the things that really show up.
It's very difficult. I think anytime you break down an offense, you have the in pocket time clock and the emphasis, you know, particularly the play style or maybe even the division platform that he plays off of. So as far as how you're trying to, you know, what rush pattern you're trying to set to that quarterback.
What did we just hear from David Moore, the Seahawks receiver who joined us in the first hour of the show? He said sometimes Russell does the standard. He steps up in the pocket and everybody's good. You run the route that was assigned to you. But then sometimes it gets really wild because Russell starts to scramble and you have to scramble with him. That was such a great answer from David Moore. If you missed that conversation, it'll be part of our podcast After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. So Russell says, hey, we're close. We're really close. To get back to 500, we need to get back to the basics. Meanwhile, Mike McCarthy understands the challenge of trying to contain a guy who's so versatile and can hurt you a variety of ways. But you know what? The Packers have one of those guys in Aaron Rodgers, and he understands the physical, fierce nature of the defense he'll be facing on Thursday night.
I mean, they're still playing their Seattle defense. They obviously rely on vision to the football at times and flying around and setting edges. And Frank's having a great year off the edge with the, you know, pass rush, and Reed inside is having a really nice year. So, you know, it's a similar style that we've seen over the years, just different guys in those spots.
Similar style that we have seen, just different guys. Yeah, it's definitely the same system. And while there's been a lot of turnover for the Seahawks, actually on both sides of the ball, the fact is that this is still the way that Pete Carroll wants to play. And so I'm excited about this particular game. Both of these teams desperately need a win, which is something that we heard from Pete Carroll on Wednesday as well. Because right now the Seahawks are a game below 500. Meanwhile, the Packers are, as I said, sitting pretty there at 4-4-1. But here's the deal. It's all still in play for both of these teams. Wild cards, even potentially, well, for the Seahawks, you're not talking about a division title as much. It's not beyond the realm of possibility, but it's a long shot for sure. In fact, did you know this? I heard this last week and it was like, whoa, that's a bit stunning. If the Seahawks lose on Thursday night, the Rams will clinch the NFC West. They don't even have to play in week 11. Of course, their game is Monday night against the Chiefs back in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. But yes, if the Seahawks lose to the Packers, and they have dropped two games at home already this year, if they lose Thursday night, the Rams will clinch the NFC West.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
That's right. Win is a win is a win is a win. And my other favorite cliche about pro sports, you are what your record says you are. There is no college football playoff committee that determines which teams make the postseason in the NFL. Absolutely not. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio. Here's what Greg says. Absolutely love, love, love escape rooms. My wife got me hooked. My favorite one is Prison Break. Oh, I want to do a Prison Break. Our theme is the clock tower. But yeah, Prison Break sounds pretty phenomenal. And also, talk about a major sense of urgency. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Again, 855-212-4227. So we had a major milestone in the NBA on Wednesday night. It was late on Wednesday. It was on the West Coast in Los Angeles. The King.
LeBron drives right by Lehman, gets in the lane, foul count of it goes! It goes! There it is! LeBron James has tied Wilt Chamberlain for an all-time scoring mark of 31,419, and the crowd realizes what's happening and comes to its feet.
They're going to stop the game and give him the ball.
LeBron's free throw is good. There it is. He passes Wilt Chamberlain, 31,420 points. And oh, by the way, 39 tonight.
John Ireland with the ultimate moment there for LeBron and the Lakers as he finishes with 44 and with 31,425 total points. And passes Wilt Chamberlain. He's a big student of history, so he paid homage to Wilt after the game. So there's two things working here. One is how big this is for the Lakers and the fact that this is the first 40-point game that LeBron has had with Los Angeles. And they end up winning 126-117. Can we hear LeBron talking about his first 40-point game with the Lakers? That would be awesome. And so, yeah, they've won 6 of 7 now, and they are above 500. And so you've got the immediate that's taking place with LeBron having his best game so far.
Just getting my rhythm. Like I said, I didn't put too much into my free throw shooting, you know, as of late. I know how much I put into the game and how much I work on my craft. So it's only a matter of time. So, you know, everything was working tonight.
But then you have the history part of this, which is that LeBron is now fifth on the NBA's all-time scoring list. 16 seasons in, he still got a lot of juice left in those legs if you're paying attention. And I've asked you, of the top six scorers in the NBA all-time, who's the only one that did not wear a Lakers uniform? We know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did. He's number one. Karl Malone is number two, and at the very end of his career, he did, in fact, wear a Lakers uniform. Kobe Bryant, entire career with the Lakers. Number four is Michael Jordan, you guys. Michael Jordan. He's the only one in the top six who did not wear a Lakers uniform. So Michael Jordan, number four on the all-time scoring list in the history of the NBA. Then LeBron, then Wilt Chamberlain. Dirk Nowitzki is number seven. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.